My name is Sean. I am a subway seat in New York City.
Why don't we start? Why don't you just tell me about just a typical day in your life?
I'm up at, well, I never go to sleep. I don't go to sleep. Yeah, we run all night long.
Okay.
And so the typical day, I guess officially we'll start at 12 midnight and 1 second. But a day, really a full 24-hour cycle involves me going there and back, 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 there and back. And it's great. I mean, I see a lot of people coming and going. They look real busy. They look like they're stressed. They look like they got worries. Maybe they're happy. They're sad. Their life is up and down and up and down. And I'm steady, baby.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me, what is it? What's it like when somebody sits on you?
Oh, well, you know, it's kind of great. It's great. I spend all day, hopefully, with someone sitting on me. And so everyone's rear ends, they feel different. And you don't walk around feeling other human beings' rear ends all day long, no. Which is, from what I can gather, that would be bad if someone did that. Yeah. But for me, it's my job, and it's not inappropriate for me to do it. It's actually quite appropriate. So I can feel subtle differences in muscle tension, in weight distribution, and essentially that is my conduit into the emotional well-being of the person. The butt is my window to the soul.
It sounds so intimate in a way, like you're communicating so much through, you know, physical touch. It's like almost romantic.
Oh, well, that's funny. That's very funny. But don't say that to Jerry. He's the seat next to me. So I've been with him for quite some time. Yeah, he and I are joined at the hip. Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very funny. That's funny.
So that's like it's a partnership.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry and I. Yeah. Yeah. We go back to well, we were created together and built at the same time. And yeah, my first real relationship, we just sort of, there's a nonverbal way we communicate with each other that would be impossible to explain to you because I'd have to nonverbally communicate it.
You could try. You can try to communicate with me the way you do with Jerry. You know, it's funny. It's something people say, but you and Jerry, you literally have a connection. You're actually connected.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, we are one, essentially. It's funny. We're like anglerfish. You know how, like, an anglerfish...
No.
The male of the anglerfish species will go up when it's mating with a female. It goes up and it sort of bites her on the stomach, on the belly area. And it's not like a little flirtatious little peck or something.
Okay.
It's like he attaches himself. He bites into her belly and just stays there. And then they sort of fuse together. They become like one fish. Their skin merges. Their like blood vessels get together and start circulating. They're together. They merge. And
they're one thing.
They're one thing. He just stays there. And his eyes and his fins and all the stuff around him that he would be using if he was by himself, it just stops working. It just sort of goes away. And then, you know, he's just kind of sitting there, this little like man bump on the side of her. And they're basically two fish that became one fish. They become one thing together.
Wow. It's romantic and gross.
Yeah. They essentially, their process of mating is to become one thing. That's kind of like Jerry and I. I mean, we're not making like little baby seats or anything like that, but we are one. I mean, I do not remember a second without him.
Do you know the other seats around you?
I do not like Tony. Tony is the seat right across from me. and he is just very arrogant and very, you know, when someone sits down on Tony, Tony will be extremely, you know, cocky about it. And as soon as the person gets off, he'll just, did you see that? So I'm blessed with my companion, but I'm also cursed. It's like this neighbor across the street who has the ugliest house and plays the loudest music and is just a jerk. And I can't do anything about it, you know?
Sean, I want to ask, people often leave their belongings on the train. Has anything ever been left on you?
Oh, sure. And I've got a lot of cell phones. And I don't imagine they ever see those things again, because we get to the end of the line, the crews that come in and actually, they, you know, they clean up. I don't know what they do with those. They take them off the train, and I hear them joking, oh, I'm never going to see this again. You know, this is lost forever. I'm going to sell this, you know, whatever they manage to say. A lot of cell phones, a lot of jewelry, bracelets, earrings, things like that. Too many wedding rings. Why do people take off their wedding ring in the middle of talking to someone? Or when they meet someone, they would take their wedding ring off and then put it down on a subway seat. I don't know why.
Well, I would do that. So in a human marriage, you are committed to each other. That is your partner,
right?
Your only person.
So you each wear a ring.
Each wear
a
ring.
They don't have to match, though. It's just the idea that you're...
They often do match. They don't have to match.
That's cool.
But I would say the wedding ring,
yeah,
you wear it and it indicates to others that you are not romantically available.
So if you take it off, you saying you are romantic. Oh, well, that's bad. Then they're going to try to be with that person instead of the person at home. Don't do that. No.
Hey, Bob, so you're the guy who, when somebody drops something on the subway tracks, you're the guy who has to come get it.
Yes, sir. That's basically 90% of the job I'm doing now.
So what kind of stuff are you finding?
Well, I mean, 90% of it is, well, not 90, but most of them are cell phones. And the big thing now is earbuds are the new, because they don't have the wires. Got a big spike in earbud picking up on.
Is there ever anything where you're like, why did this person want this back?
I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, people drop stuff that, you know, this lady had a regular Bic pen and she lost the cap for it and she wanted the cap back. So, you know, but, you know, we respond to anything. It doesn't matter. You know, the lady wanted it, forget about it. But it was like, you know, it's a 50-cent pen and she wants the cap. So that was kind of weird.
So you're dispatched to go wherever people need stuff picked up. How long would she have had to wait for you to get her pin cap?
Usually whatever, within an hour. You know, we try to be, you know.
So most of the things you're mentioning, they sound pretty small. Do you ever find big things?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people drop suitcases and backpacks and, you know, skateboards and another big thing, basketballs. We got the call at Hunts Point in the Bronx. You know, the call was for a pair of pants. So, like, you know, like, oh, we go up. So we go up to Hunts Point, and the kid had it was a young adult. He had two pairs of pants and he had just bought them. They were in a shopping bag, and him and his wife were arguing when she took the bag and flings it underneath the third rail. So we go up there, and he's, you know, he's like, yo, my pants, my... So we're expecting them right down, and they're way over underneath the third rail. I was like, dude, how'd they get there? And he tells us a story. I was arguing with my wife. She took my pants and flung them under, you know, she just flung them. But, I mean, most people don't throw valuable stuff.
Do you think they're still together?
He actually said they were cool. He goes, but we're cool now. So by the time we got up there, because it took us a while, I got up there, she just went home. But he goes, no, we're not arguing no more.
One thing I've wondered, looking around a subway car in the summertime, how do you feel about when somebody sits on you in short shorts?
Well, I feel two ways. One is I'm interested in human skin because most of the time I get a lot of fabric.
Yeah.
So the opportunity to touch human skin is interesting to me because that's very direct contact with a human being. I feel like I actually get to know more about them the more of their physical, actual body and skin I can touch.
It's intimate.
Yeah, it's intimate. And I don't, not in a way that would be inappropriate, in a way that I just think it's a little deeper. The other downside is sweat, that people, and when it's hot, thighs will be rubbing together at when they, especially when they sit, and that's going to create some sort of friction, which creates sweat. And as much as I love people and connecting with them, I don't love any fluid that comes out of a person, or a dog, or any animal. I'd like to be fluid free. So short shorts in the summer, I like it, but there's I always know, and Jerry and I talk about this. We always know something. We have a, what's his phrase? He uses a phrase. The downside of the upside, he calls it. The downside of the upside, which I thought was so poetic. And it really, that encapsulates the whole seat. The bottom part of the top of the seat is really both sides of the seat. And that's life.
It's also, the sweat is the downside to the backside.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Totally. You get it. You should hang out with us sometime. Just come sit. On, you know what? We would let you sit on both of us. We would let you manspread and sit on both of us and just the three of us hang, get on a World Trade Center. We'll go all the way to Queens.
I would love to sit on you.
Yeah, please. I would love to have you sit on me. You can sit on me right now if you want.
I'll try it.
Yeah, get up. Get off your chair.
Yeah, come sit on me. Let's do it.
Do it.
Just maybe just describe how it's feeling.
Oh,
to you.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Go ahead. Great. Okay, so initially, I feel your reticence.
I'd have...
You're slightly reticent. Okay, and now I'm feeling you sort of soften because I called it out and I explained what it was, broke the ice, cut the tension. Great. So now, here's what I feel. At your soul, you are a kind, gentle person. What do you call your engine? People's engine? What is it called again?
My heart?
Yeah. Your heart is like moving, beating very low and slow. Do you exercise?
I'm a runner.
You're a runner. Okay, great. What's the most you've ever run?
I've run a marathon. 26 miles.
Okay, well, I go more than that in a day, but I know it's less exertion for me. You're happy romantically. Feel like you're satisfied. You're just like a salt of the earth, good guy. You've rented some weird movies in the past. I can't tell if they're dirty or maybe they're just one of the like some weird horror movies or something, but there's something like you've watched some weird movies at some point. Now you're super relaxed. Now you are, you could almost go to sleep. I could feel like you're almost like really relaxed.
I have to say that this talking to you as I do this, I'm just thinking about, there is something relaxing thinking about the connection that you make when you sit down.
Yeah. And you know what's great? I feel like more people would be even more relaxed if they knew how it made the seat feel. Because initially, you might think, oh, I'm sitting on this seat. It must be uncomfortable. I must hate it. We love it. We love it. Your couches, your dining room tables, you know, your seesaws, whatever you're sitting on wants to be sat on. That's why we are there.
Seats are for sitting.
Seats are for sit. That's awesome. I'm going to tell Jerry that. Seats are for sitting. Wow. That's everything. That's everything.
Sean, do you know what happens to a subway car when it's retired?
I have heard rumors. Things like they throw you in a fire and melt you down and make you into a new seat. Or they, you know, some rich guy buys you and sets up a fake subway in his house so he can pretend he's on the subway all the time. Or you know, you hear like they're going to take this seed and shoot it into space just to see what happens. That would be great. I really feel like that's not true.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I feel like I don't care. I feel like whatever's going to happen is going to happen. If I am some weird millionaire's idea of a good time, fine. If they shoot me into space, fine. If they melt me down, fine. And I'm just going to be happy up until the day that that happens. And maybe I'll still be happy even afterwards. Do you know what happens to...
I do.
Okay.
And
do I want to know?
I honestly have no idea how you're going to feel about it.
Okay.
One thing that happens to subway cars, this has happened to thousands of subway cars, is when they are retired, they are put on a boat.
Whoa.
And
they become seats on the boat?
No. The boat goes out into the ocean, mm-hmm. and the subway cars are thrown overboard.
The whole car is thrown off of a boat?
Is thrown off of a boat into the ocean. And
what is it?
Well, they sink to the bottom, uh-huh. and they become a place where sea creatures live.
What? So, underwater,
yeah.
which is obviously you adapt to that. Oh my gosh, that sounds incredible. You know, because now, if I go underwater now, something's gone horribly wrong. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
That would be that would be code red.
Oh, yes.
So then instead of there being air and people, it's water and fish?
Yes.
Where does the train go? Does it go, like, what's the route?
The train no longer travels. The train, it lands on the floor of the sea, and that is where it remains.
Gotcha. I was picturing like a track underwater that would go from one place to another, like take fish, they come on and then they're tired of swimming. They can like the track goes somewhere and then it drops them off at work or something.
Yeah. The traveling part of the subway car's life is over, but its life is not over. And
interesting.
My understanding is the fish love it because the subway car becomes a kind of sanctuary. It's a safe place where they can hide from, you know, sharks and larger predators.
Wow. Oh my gosh, sharks? Man, you know what? If we did end up at the bottom of the ocean, just be Jerry and I sitting there chilling out, fish swimming around our heads and stuff. We might even see an anglerfish, actually. That would be really cool to see one of those up close with their, like, little man belly bump thing. Man. That's going to be so weird.
You know, a lot of humans, when they're done working, they retire to the beach.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's, in a way, what will happen to you and Jerry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. But we'll be underwater at the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what would be great? Maybe there's a way when... Here's what I picture, based off of what you said. The car hits the bottom of the ocean. Somehow Tony gets dislodged and floats out of the subway car and gets eaten by a shark. I'm just gonna hope that that happens.
This is Everything is Alive. The show is produced by Jennifer Mills with me, Ian Chillog. Special thanks to Emily Spivak, Sarah Geiss, and Eva Walchover. We are grateful to the reporting of Matt Soniak and Phoebe Park. Also, a big thanks to Bob Devine for talking to us about his job retrieving your stuff off the subway tracks. Sean, the subway seat, was played by Peter Gross. Most of this episode was recorded at Studio 44 in Brooklyn, New York. This is the final episode of our first season, and we'd like to thank all of our performers, Lewis Kornfeld, Maeve Higgins, Dennis Pacheco, Tara Clancy, Anna Fabrega, Andrew Tischer, Chioki Iansen, Annie Donley, Ayo Adebri, and Peter Gross. Also, a big thanks to Radio Diaries for the hospitality. Our artwork and website were created by Teddy Blanks, Adam Squires, and Dan Shields of Chips NY. Everything is Alive is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, and we are so grateful to everyone there for making this show happen. Without Julie Shapiro, executive producer. We would be stuck at the station thanks to a track fire, unable to make it anywhere. Thank you so much for listening to the first season of our show. If you like it, tell a friend about it, and please subscribe so you'll know right away when we're back for season two. You can get in touch with us any number of ways at everythingsalive.com. We'll be back soon.
Radiotopia.